Go to the Genesis chapter 49, verse 1.
And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father.
Last week we learned Jacob was sick. Somebody told Joseph, your father is very sick. So the Joseph comes to his father bringing his two sons. And somebody comes and tells Jacob, your son is coming. And so we heard how he blessed Joseph and his sons. And all other brothers might be watching. Because his father is sick and he might be dying any moment. So they might be watching. When Jacob finished with his son, Joseph, then he said, Now all my children come. And I like to tell you what's going to happen in the future in your life. He's predicting, he's prophesying what's going to happen to each and every son. Now everybody's around him. He starts with his son, Reuben. Now, if you know Reuben, Reuben did several mistakes and a great mistake. He went to his concubine and he defiled his father's bed. And at that time, his father didn't say a word. And I was surprised. Why Jacob is not condemning? Why Jacob is keeping silent? And I thought, Reuben is a strong and healthy man, like he says, how he's his firstborn. And so when he did this kind of mistake and he tried to cover his mistake and try to be a nice guy, when Joseph was in Egypt and he said, bring the Benjamin, and Jacob says, You know what? I'm not going to let Benjamin go. Reuben said, If I didn't bring Benjamin back, kill my two sons. I'll give my two sons and you can kill them. He's trying to say, I can give my life, I can give my children's life, and I will make you happy. But his father was not impressed. Because his father was thinking, what did he do? He defiled my bed. He defiled my name. And he was thinking, this is not the right time. So he kept quiet. Same way we will be learning about the Simeon and Levites. Those are the both brothers in Shechem. When the Shechem's king's son went and defiled the Dana, they killed all of the people, not only king and his son, but everyone in that town. Not only they killed them, they took their money, their treasury, and they even destroyed their animals, breaking their legs and things like that. Horrible things those children did. Jacob was scared because Jacob wanted to stay in that Shechem for a long time. While he's traveling, he built the house there, we learn. And he wanted to stay there for a long time. But as soon as Simeon and Levites did horrible thing, he said, I'm afraid. Let's get out of this town, otherwise somebody will kill us. That time also he did not scold those children very strongly. But this is the time. Sometimes people wait for their timing. Now he's dying. He's thinking, even though they do any harm to me, I'm ready to die anyhow. I'm not afraid now. So let's read the verse 3.
Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it. He went up to my couch.
Now he's saying, you defile my bed. You went with my wife. That was, even though she was a concubine, he married her because Rachel told him to marry her. She was his wife. So he said, you defile my bed. So what happened because of that? He was the firstborn. Now he lost his first right. He lost his blessings. If you read in Revelation chapter 7, there are 12 tribes are mentioned, 144,000. Reuben's name is not first. Judah's name is first there. So what happened? He lost his place. He lost his blessing. So sometimes people, when they are strong and healthy, and nobody can do anything to me. I am strong and I'm healthy and they have a lot of power. See how this mafia run around and they're thinking nobody can kill them. Nobody has power. And there are so many gangs. Same with these Muslim people. They're thinking nobody has power to do any harm to us. But in the sight of God, you're nobody. God can put one man up, maybe a king. Another day he can be beggar. God has power to change people. But here we see this man with his own power, he wanted to be more than what he can do. But his father says, you lost your blessings. You are not going to be first. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 30, if you read. Jesus Christ says, the first will be the last, and last will be the first. It will happen to many. We are not the children of Israel. We are the children of God. But if you read in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, God says, this Israeli people, they did not walk according to my commandment. I am going to make a new covenant. And thank God, Jesus Christ made his covenant with his precious blood. So today, we are the bride. The Israeli people are called friend. Abraham was called friend. John the Baptist was called friend. But we are the bride of Christ. So the word of God said, the first will be the last and last will be the first. This can happen to many. Sometimes people say, I didn't get a chance. And I didn't go to church for this many years. Maybe God is mad at me. You can be a horrible sinner, prostitute, drug dealer, drug addict, anyone. But once you come and stand before God and say, Lord, I am not worthy to come to you. You gave your life for me. I trust in your blood. Wash me, sanctify me, make me new. The word of God says, at that moment, your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of your sin. You are washed and cleansed. So that means each and every person has a chance. Now, sometimes people think this is so easy. We come to God and receive Jesus Christ. And now you are a child of God and you go and do anything you want to do. That is not the Christian life. You have to follow the steps of Christ. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will follow me. If you love me, if you keep my commandments. And he says, my commandments are not that horrible, not that difficult. What his commandment? He said, I'm giving last a new commandment. Love one another. It's the very best and number one commandment. If you start loving one another, you are not going to do any harm to that person. Once you love somebody, there are people, you will see in America, they have churches, Spanish church only, Indian church only, African church only, and there are groups of people. Jesus Christ did not come for the one group alone. The word of God said, God so loved the world. So we should have the world vision. Each and every person lives in the corner of any world, or any place, if that person is lost, we have to go and reach that person for Christ. Many people, they say, I'm not a minister. This is not my job. I'm not paid servant. Let me tell you, I'm serving the Lord since 1956. Never took one penny salary, not even planning to take salary maybe next time or some other time. I have given my life to Jesus. For what? Because he shed his precious blood, last drop of blood for me. He forgave me. He washed me, he cleansed me, he gave me salvation, he gave me healing, he gave me his power and his wisdom. So I gave everything. I gave up my job and everything and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. They were telling, you're not going to get any salary. You have to give your tears, your blood, and your sweat. I said, that's me. I want to follow Christ. The point I'm making, there are people dying without God and without Christ. In our neighborhood, everywhere, what are we doing to bring them to Christ? Just like Reuben had the chance, he lost it. But people like that, somebody says, you know, that person, you cannot reach that person. That person is meant to go to hell. Bible says, anyone believes in Jesus Christ, that person can get saved. We have to have a desire to bring these unstable people, ungodly people, wavery-minded people, and tell them, hey, listen, you tried everything? Try Jesus. Jesus will transform your life. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 49, verse 5.
Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel.
Now see, here he's saying, you are cursed. You lost your blessing. And in Israel, you will be scattered. You will be divided. And I was checking about these people. When the word of God says, when they took the survey of these people, you see, let's go to the number, chapter 1, verse 23.
Those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 50,900.
Now see how many people were there? And just go to the Numbers 26, verse 14.
These are the families of the Simeonites, 20,200.
See, 59,000 to 22,000. Their number reduced and they scattered. And if you study about Levites, in Levites he said, they will not get any inheritance. Everybody got their land and said, Levites will not have their inheritance. Thank God that from Levites, Moses came, Aaron came, and because of that, even though they didn't have any inheritance and they served the Lord, God changed it and gave them more blessings. Now just think, they have 12 tribes, and each tribe said, okay, you have to give 10% to Levites, because they are serving the Lord. So what happened? 12 tribes, each tribe give one portion, one-tenth. Just think that everybody had the $100 to give it to Levites from their income. So everybody got $1,000, but Levites got $1,200. The point I'm making, even they didn't have any portion given to them. Start serving the Lord. God gave them more than other people. As Simeon, they were more, but 59,300 to 22,200, they reduced. Why? Because God's curse was on them. If they would have said, hey, Levi's doing some better job, I want to work for God, I want to do something for God, God can do it. I just tell people when I go and pray for somebody, they ask me, oh, I'm dying, I have this thing, and I have this problem. I say, sir, if God heals you, what are you going to do? Somebody says, you know, my leg is crooked, and pray for me. So why should I pray for you? So I can dance better? I said, God has not given you your feet to dance. The word of God says, whoever preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, his feet is beautiful. And he says, I will make your feet like a deer's feet. You can go to the mountains and jump around and do the things. The word of God says, preach the gospel from the mountaintop. There was a girl, her leg was crooked like this, 8 years old. But she never asked me, I want to have a good foot to dance. But when I prayed for her, her foot twisted and became proper. The point I'm making, God has given us grace. We have to say, Lord, you have given us grace. I'm going to use it for the glory of God. When people say, oh, I don't want to give my life to God. I want to enjoy my life. I tell these people, you do not know how long you're going to live. The life is like a bubble. Life is like a vapor. We do not know what's happening tomorrow. You know, tomorrow never comes. You plan something for tomorrow, tomorrow never comes. Whatever you want to do tomorrow, do it today. Whatever you want to do it today, do it now. The word of God says salvation is now, not tomorrow. What I'm trying to say, tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So don't say, I will get saved tomorrow, I'll go to church tomorrow, I'll give my tithe tomorrow, I will pray tomorrow, I will read my Bible tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. So we have to change. Thank God the Levite had the curse and Simeon had the curse, but we believe that when God chose these Levites, you remember when they came from Egypt and Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, and when he came down, somebody told Aaron to make a calf so we can worship. And he was forced to do that. And sometimes people do something by force. But that time, you are excused because somebody by force do something, you cannot do anything. Example I'll give, in a college campus, they tie your hand and feet and everything and pour your mouth and put the liquor in your mouth. You didn't want to do it, but they put it in your mouth. God is not going to say, hey, you took a liquor, I'm going to send you to hell. Because sometimes some people do it by force. So here we see, when Moses comes, and he says, it's a long story, but I'm cutting it short. Moses comes and says, who is in the Lord's side? All the Levites came in one side. He said, take the sword and kill everybody, whoever worshiping that idol. And 3,000 people died. So you see, these Levites, at least they repented. They said, we are in your side. We made a mistake, but Lord, we want forgiveness. We can make mistakes, but you don't live in your mistakes. You don't live in your sins. You have to say, Lord Jesus, this is bugging me. This is bothering me. People come to me. You say, you know, I'm smoking, I'm drinking for years, and I am bound. I say, sir, Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth. Truth shall set you free. Once you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, all the bad things will go automatically. I'm a living witness. I am not struggling that I should have to struggle to not to smoke. I'm not struggling that the beer or the liquor is bothering me. I'm not worried about any sin. Why? Because I got the victory by the blood of Jesus Christ. If I'm driving and I say naked girl's picture on the billboard, When I saw it, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. But there are some people, they will say, I saw the picture and I was going so fast, let me turn around. I want to look at that picture and take a picture and I'm going to keep it in my bedroom. And they enjoy that thing. That is sin. Jesus Christ said, if you look at a woman with a lustful eyes, you already did adultery. God wants our heart. If our heart is changed, God will bless. The word of God says, if your heart condemns you, you have no confidence towards God. But the word of God says, God is greater than your heart. What does it mean? Come to God. Jesus says, oh, heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Don't run around where there is no hope. Come to Jesus Christ, and your life will be blessed. Let's go back to the Genesis chapter 49. And verse 8.
Yeah, okay.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?
Now here is the Judah. He said to Tamar, first of all, he heard she's pregnant. He said, we should kill her, burn her, destroy her. She said, you know, I became pregnant, and this is the man made me pregnant, and she gave her his stuff. Then he said, she is worthy to live. I am the one guilty. So his heart changed. He wanted to sell his brother Joseph. He sold his brother and got some money and got married. But now this same man is changed. Now he says, I will give my life for my brother. And I want to give my life for my brother. I'm not worried about my life. That's the type of Christ. Christ gave his life for his brethren who do not want Jesus Christ at all. He said he went to his own, and his own received him not. But he still gave his life for the whole world. Here the word of God is saying, Judah is a praise. Leah got this fourth son, and she started praising God. Judah means praise. So she started praising God, this is my son, and praise God with me. I'm so happy that God gave me this son. And so the Judah, when he repented, and if he changed his life around, and he blessed his father. He was a mediator between Joseph and Jacob. He was mediator between Pharaoh and Jacob. And so he did a great job. And his father was so pleased. Now he says, you are the praise. God is pleased with your work. And so now God chosen the tribe of Judah to bring Christ into this world. Can you imagine? If you are faithful, you never know what will come from your children or your life or your generation. Now Judah lived for God. His life was shining. And then he says, now you know, Judah, in your family, there are kings are coming. And Jesus Christ came from Judah's family. If you read in the book of Hebrews, the word of God said, there was nothing said about the Judah's family, that they will be priests coming. But God says, I appointed my son as a high priest, as a Melchizedek, and he came from Judah. And the first king came from Judah is David. And Jesus Christ is called the son of David and son of Abraham. Jesus Christ came as a prophet. He preached the gospel. He gave his life. Now he's a priest, mediator between God and you, and between God and me. And so he's praying for us. He's a priest. And pretty soon, in millennium, he's coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the word of God says in the book of Revelation, he says, we will be with him as the kings and priests. So Judah got this blessing. Let's read the verse 9.
Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?
Jesus Christ came from the Judah's family, and what is called? Jesus is Lion of Judah. They have the sign for Judah's tribe as a lion. And we see the devil comes like a what? Roaring lion. He comes like a roaring lion. Is he lion? No. We have the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. So people are afraid of devil, but we should not be afraid of devil. If you are born again child of God, Jesus Christ has given you power to cast the devil in the name of Jesus. God gave me a grace to pray for many people who were demon possessed. I'll give one example. One lady was tied like a dog with a chain. When they brought her for prayer, I prayed for her and God healed her, and that same day, that lady cooked the food for the family. She had the demons. The point I'm making, God has given us grace to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, please read. It says, Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he has given us power, the same thing what Jesus did, we can do it also. Please read.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
See, Jesus Christ came. There were so many prophets came before him. Not a single prophet was able to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ destroyed the works of the devil. What was the works of the devil? Death. Jesus Christ destroyed the death. And now we have a victorious life in Christ Jesus. If you read St. John chapter 5, verse 24. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are passed from death unto life. No condemnation. Please read.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See, this is the blessing we have in Christ Jesus. He's our Savior, he's our King, he's our High Priest, and we don't have to run anywhere. When the people come, I say to people, you tried everything? Try Jesus. Jesus will change you, transform you. Your life will be never be the same. Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter 49, verse 10.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Now here says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. When the king came from Judah's family, the King David. And then God promised David that all the kings will come from you and they will be not the end of your kingdom. But now we see there is no King David's kingdom. But here the word of God says, the Shiloh will come. The Shiloh is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And all these Jewish people are waiting to Messiah to come, but they do not know Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the Shiloh. He is the Messiah. and his scepter will not end. That means once Jesus Christ starts his kingdom, there will be no end. Now, many people get confused with this, because this was the message given to the Mary that Jesus Christ, your son's kingdom will forever and ever. So now people are thinking, when Jesus Christ comes as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this millennium, and then we are going to stay in this world forever. That's not going to happen. Many preachers and many prophecy teachers are teaching you, once the millennium, thousand-year reign finishes, we are going to live forever, because his kingdom should not end. When Jesus Christ become a king, then he will be king forever. But it is like this, I'll tell you, and you will understand. Philadelphia was the capital of the whole America. Just like now we have in Washington. So we had it in Philadelphia. But we moved it from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. Same America, same government, same rules and regulations, but we moved from Philadelphia to Washington. The same thing is going to happen when we will be there with Jesus Christ for millennium in earthly Jerusalem. And when you read in Revelation chapter 21, this world will pass away and you will not find this world again. Now, how can you live in this world forever? And so this headquarter changes. After the millennium, there will be white throne judgment. After the judgment, the devil and sinners will be cast out to hell. And all these godly people will transform from earth to heaven. Jesus Christ says, my Father is in heaven. And we are craving to go to heaven. Father is not going to come to earth and live with us. Father will be always in heaven. And so we will be going with Jesus Christ to heaven. And so we have to look forward to go there. But there are people like a Jehovah's Witnesses. They want to stay in this world forever. I'm not looking into this world for living forever. The Word of God says our citizenship is in heaven. And Jesus Christ will come from heaven and he will take us to heaven, even though we will be in millennium for 1,000 years, but this is not our place. Our place is in heaven. So Shiloh will come, and nobody like Christ, like Messiah, like King, Jesus Christ King, nobody will be like him. And so we have to believe one day we will be reigning with him in this millennium. And when we go to heaven, there also Jesus Christ promised that we will be reigning and ruling with him. So we had the great, great promises. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 49, verse 11.
Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes.
Now here, all of a sudden, somebody said, I don't understand what he's trying to say. This is trying to say about the king is coming from Judah's family. Now he says, that king is coming, but his donkey is tied to the great wine. Now, we don't have time, but if you read Matthew 21 or Mark 11 or Luke 19, we will see there was a donkey tied, and Jesus Christ said, go and loose that donkey. I don't know where it was tied, but according to this, he said that colt was tied to the wine tree. So point I'm making, the donkey was tied there. And Jesus Christ took that colt, and he was riding on that colt, but we don't have time to go there. And then he says his garment is in wine, is like a cloth dipped in the blood of grapes. We know that Jesus Christ. If you read in the book of Revelation chapter 19, let's read verses 11 to 13.
19:11?
And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
This is our King, Jesus Christ. Okay.
His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
See? His clothes were dipped in the blood. But here he says, dipped in the grape. Clothed in the blood of grapes. And do you know the blood, grapes look like a blood? And so he's just, at that particular time, they didn't know what he was saying. But now we know. This is about Jesus. Jesus was dipped in the blood on the cross of Calvary. And the verse 12, it says, his eyes shall be red like a wine. So his eyes were red. You see somebody's eyes red? When you see red eyes, when you are angry, your eyes will be red. When you are not angry, your eyes will look pleasant. Somebody look at your eyes and they say, hey, he loves me. And somebody is depressed or crying, you can see their eyes like a dove's eyes. You're watering their eyes. So your eyes can talk to you. You don't have to talk. You can see somebody's eyes. You can see the person is happy, person is angry, or person is depressed, or he's crying. Here the Word of God says his eyes will be like a red wine. So the Jesus Christ is coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is he coming for? In Christ's coming, there are two reasons. One thing is called secret coming of Christ. And second phase is openly coming to rule in this world. According to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the trumpet sounds, dead in Christ will rise first, and then we are alive, will be transformed, and we'll go and meet the Lord. Then the tribulation starts in this world. And after 7 years of tribulation, we come back. That's the time he's riding on the horse, red eyes, and he is angry at the world, the people who rejected him, and there will be war. After the war, the devil will be defeated, false prophet and antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire. And the devil will be bound and put it in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And 1,000 years, millennium peace kingdom with Christ. After the 1,000 years, I already told you, there will be a great white throne judgment. And after the judgment, the devil will be cast where the false prophet and the antichrist is. And they will be burning in hell for eternity. So here the Word of God is saying, this is the picture of Jesus Christ, and Judah was blessed bringing Christ in his family. So we do not know what we are going to produce. We always pray for our children before they are born. See this Leah? She said, my son will be praised. It happened. My daughter, my son, before they were born, I laid hand on my wife's stomach and prayed for my daughter, prayed for my son. And thank God, today they are serving the Lord. We had the vision that these children, we give it to the Lord. And as I said, Priscilla also started reading the Bible and reading the Bible books when she was 2.5 years old. I was in a Bible school, and she was reading my college books. And my graduation, she was singing for me. The point I'm making, she was that small. But she was reading the Bible and reading the book and singing for the Lord. The point I'm making, God gave me children. I prayed for them before they came into this world. You teach your children from the beginning. Have high hope for them. Leah didn't know what the Judah is going to do. But she prayed and she said, Lord, my husband doesn't love me. At least now this fourth child I got, I'm going to praise the Lord and he will have a relationship with me. You bless your children. Say good thing about them. Don't say, you're a naughty boy, you're going to be nothing, you will be this and you will be that, and that thing stuck there in their mind. And they say, my mother said this, so that's the way I'm going to be. My father said this, and that's the way I'm going to be. I told you I went to New York and there was a boy playing in the playpen, maybe 1.5 years or 2 years. Hey, Tyson! And they named the Tyson. So look at the Tyson. I said, why are you naming him Tyson as a Christian person? Why don't you tell he will be Daniel or Joseph or Philip or Stephen or something good? You vision for your children that way, what you want them to be, and God will do it. So here we see the example of Judah. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 49 and start reading from verse 13. I already said it, but you can read it.
His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens.
Now see, Zebulun, he gave him good prophecy. He will be living in a seashore, and all the ships and business will be happening, and he will be very happy. And Issachar, he says, he will be just like a donkey. Donkey, they are not that beautiful animal, but the donkey specialties in donkeys, they are hard-working animals. They don't run like a horse, but they carry more load than the horse. And so he says, you will be like a donkey. And not only that, they are a little bit slow. So the Issachar, like a donkey, he did not progress too much. And he was always carrying the burden. Even the enemy attacked them and made them a slave. And that's what their future was. Verse 15.
And he saw that rest was good and the land, that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute.
See, he became servant to other people. He was strong, healthy, hardworking, but lazy. And let other people rule over us. See, freedom is the great thing. But we don't take freedom as a great thing. The people who are slave, they want freedom. We have freedom, we are not using our freedom. Let other people walk over us. That's what's happening. All Muslim countries want to make us trash. But we have to say, we are a free country, we are children of God, and nobody can suppress us, and nobody can put their God over us. We're keeping quiet. We don't know how to deal with these people. When you go to their country, they cannot allow you to take a Bible, and they will not allow you to wear a cross in their country. You news person or something, they will say, cover your head. When they come to our country, we keep them like a kings. Right. You want to make a mask? Go ahead, make the mask. And you want to teach anything against our religion? Go ahead. They're saying, you cannot say anything bad about Muslims. That will be crime. But you can say anything about Christian religion. You can trash Christian religion, but you cannot talk anything bad about Muslim. That's what's happening, and we yielding to them. We are a free country. We are the one giving money to them. They are not doing anything. We shed blood for them. Every place Americans shed blood for those people, and they forget, and we don't get anything in return, and they are trashing us. Hear the word of God say, we are free. We don't have to be like a donkey and burdened with other people's problem, means other people's religion. We are free people and we want to be free. Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. And if you are free, you are free indeed in Christ. If you want to come to our country, we have religious freedom. But the whoever comes to my country, I should have a freedom to go to their country and start a church. If you don't allow us to start a church in your country, you have no right to make us mask in my country. We have religious freedom, and religious freedom should be all around the world. Let people choose. Why you are afraid of Bible? Bible doesn't harm you, but they don't want Bible. Why? Because if somebody reads the Bible, they will get saved. Good news. In Iran, it's a tiny little country, but have a lot of big mouth and wants to destroy America, Israel. But thank God there are hundreds and thousands of people are getting saved every day. And you just heard that man, they wanted to kill him, renounce your religion, and we will let you go. He said, no, I'm not going to renounce my religion. Finally, we were praying and you were praying and everybody's praying. He's a free man. And people start saying, you don't stay here. Get out of here. Go to America. Go somewhere. He said, no, I'm going to live here. And I'm going to die for Christ. That's called freedom. But this Issachar is a donkey. He's strong. But he is going to be slave to other people. Do not be slave to anyone. Because God has made you free, and stay free. Okay, verse 16. Time is going, I'm going to finish this. Please read.
Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord.
Now, if you see Dan, several scripture I want to give, but time is not permitting. But here he's saying that Dan became like a serpent. What the serpent does? Kills, destroys. The serpent is like a devil. Devil is called the old serpent, if you remember. And he is Dan's people, start doing this idol worship. And what happened? They destroyed so many people with the idol worship. And what happened? If you read the all these 12 tribes, 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7, Dan is kicked out. Dan is not in those 12 tribes. So when you do something wrong and go idol worship and demonic worship and things like that and still go to church and say, I'm a Christian, doesn't work. There are so many people, they call themselves Christian, but they are not born again Christian. That's a dangerous thing. They will lose their life. Means they will go to hell. You cannot say, oh, you're Christian? Okay, you smoke, you drink, you do all. Oh, that's okay, you're my brother. Jesus Christ wants holiness. We cannot have our holiness, but the blood of Jesus Christ can make you holy. You have to give it to the Lord. This Dan made all these people do idol worships. You have to go and look out for that. Okay, let's keep on reading. Finish this. Okay, what I'm going to do. We finish up to 16. And I'm thinking this chapter is not going to finish. We are going to keep this chapter for the next week. Each and every tribe, each and every son, his father was not afraid to tell them exactly what they are going to be. Same way, you should not be afraid of your children. Do you know how many people are afraid of their children? They bring the bad CDs, bad DVDs. They bring the girlfriend and not married and they come into your house. You have no power to say anything. And you let them rule over you. father and mother, they have to be strong. But I would not wait until I be 120 and then tell my children how to live a Christian life. You ask my children, they will tell you. I am not the person can allow them to do anything. Because the Word of God says, God has given us responsibility. As a mother and father, you have to say good about your children, but at the same time, if they are not good, they are not walking good, you should speak out and tell them the right thing. Because tomorrow never comes. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace to be blessed, not to be cursed. And thank you for Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, your word says, Jesus Christ became a curse for us, and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. We are blessed people. Let each and everyone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let each and every believer go and tell somebody who is dying without God and without Christ. Witness to them and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, give us grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.